The following program is brought to you by the friends and partners of Andrew Womack Ministries, celebrating 40 years of sharing God's unconditional love and grace. Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack. On today's program, Andrew explains how miraculous changes can take place in your life when you stop limiting God with small thinking. Now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series that I've entitled, Don't Limit God. And this is a truth that God has really used in my life in a powerful way. I've mentioned this a number of times. We're nearing the end of my second week of teaching on this. But in January of 2002, the Lord told me I was limiting what He could do through me because of my small thinking. And so I'd made some changes. And I mean, our life, this ministry, our impact that we're making has changed dramatically. And it all happened because of the way that I changed my thinking. And so this is what I've been teaching on and sharing, that God wants more for all of you than what any of us are living up to. I believe I could say that without an exception. You know, I don't care where you are, what you're doing, how well you have been following the leading of the Lord, none of us have reached our full potential. As long as you're breathing, there's more. And so I'm trying to use this series to encourage you to believe for God's best and to recognize that God's plans for your life do not automatically come to pass. He doesn't sovereignly move in our life and make things work. We have to cooperate with God. And I spent 4 days teaching on that, and then I spent 4 days talking about that the second step is you've got to recognize you were created by God and designed for a specific purpose. You have a destiny that is preordained of God, but God doesn't force you to follow it. You have to cooperate. And I gave a lot of examples of that. And I really believe that the majority of the people in the body of Christ are just basically doing whatever, you know, life throws at them, whatever circumstances lead them to do, and they hope that it pleases God. But there isn't an absolute assurance that what they're doing is directed and ordained of God. And I talked about Paul and Jeremiah, Isaiah, being told by the Lord that before they were even formed in their mother's womb, God had a purpose for them. And God had preordained them to this. Now, again, you have a choice. It doesn't automatically come to pass. But you need to recognize that it's not up to you to do your thing and ask God to bless it. You need to find out what God's thing is, and you need to start fulfilling that. And it's impossible for you to ever take the limits off of God and realize God's full potential and blessing in your life if you don't know what God's will is. Again, I refer to that scripture in Ephesians chapter 5 that says, "Be not ignorant, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." It's a command. God wants to reveal His will to you more than you want it revealed. Today, I want to start talking about some other things. We've discussed that God's will doesn't automatically come to pass. You have to cooperate. You need to have a vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Proverbs 29:18. Here's some other things. And as I say some of this, some of you may think that I'm being harsh or that I'm condemning, but God said all of this stuff to me. Amen. So I'm not trying to put anybody down. I'm just being honest and open with this. Another thing that limits God is just laziness. Or you could phrase this differently. You could say just being complacent. You could say that it's just becoming comfortable where you are. You know, in my own circumstance, I won't go back through everything, but man, when I got started in ministry, it was a major effort. And Jamie and I went for at least a decade, not knowing if we were going to live through the week, if we were going to starve to death. There was just struggle everywhere that we turned. A lot of it was self-inflicted because I didn't understand things. But nonetheless, we went through a lot of hardship and then a lot of persecution and people doing things to us. And there was just a lot of hardship. And then when the Lord spoke to me in 2002, we had reached a place to where we were succeeding. We were reaching people. People's lives were being changed. We had money in the bank. We were actually surviving, and it didn't look like we were going to starve by the end of the week. And you know what? It was comfortable. It was a place that it was just, you know, we were able to finally take a breath and not worry about something terrible happening. And you know what? It was comfortable and just get kind of lazy. I know nobody else is like that, but you know what? That's exactly one of the things that was hindering me, was that I was just enjoying for the first time seeing things work without me facing imminent disaster. Things were going good. All of the reports were good. Everything was going good. And you know what? You can get complacent in a situation like that. And I really believe that in, you know, the United States, of course, I know that this program is being seen all around the world, but most of you who are watching this program over television, you have reached a level of prosperity to the degree that you have a television set and things like this. And you know what? It's easy to become complacent. It's easy to sit down and just coast. There's a lot of people that their goal in life is to work and do all of these things, but then just retire as quickly as they can and get to where they sit on their porch or go fishing, and they just sit back. And to a lot of people, that is their goal, is to be able to relax and do nothing. You know what? That's not a good goal. I've seen a lot of people that when they retire, they start doing nothing, and it destroys them. Their health goes down, their joy level and everything else. God created us to be productive. And you know what? You need a strong work ethic, and you just need to keep stretching yourself. I know that sometimes it feels good to just take a breather, but you need to constantly be stretching yourself, and you've got to avoid this complacency or laziness. Or here's some scriptures, and the Bible uses the word slothful right here. Proverbs chapter 26 in verse 13, it says, "The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. As the door turns upon its hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth." And you know, again, some of these things might not have to be said, but again, I don't want to just take that for granted. When we're talking about don't limiting God, here's the truth that you need to get hold of. That if you're going to take the limits off of God, if you're going to go to believing God for something big, it's going to take everything that you have and more. You are going to be pushed to a place to where you have to draw on the supernatural ability of God. It is going to be absolutely, totally consuming. You know, when you start trusting God and start going God's way, it's like getting off of that inner tube that's just floating down the stream, and you're turning around and you're swimming upstream. You're going to be going against everything. You're going to receive criticism. You're going to receive ridicule from people. It's going to take effort on your part. And I tell you, if you're a lazy person, if you're a slothful person, or if you're a person who's just looking for the easy way out, I can promise you, you're going to wind up limiting God. Because God is going to lead you into things that challenge your comfort, that get you out of where you are comfortable, and will have you doing things that it's not normal for you to do. You know, I've already testified to this, but I'm doing something right now that is completely against my natural tendency. I was an introvert, couldn't look at people and talk to them. And here I am making my living doing this, and this is what God has called me to do. I mean, God will call you to do things that in the natural, it's impossible. If it is possible, I doubt seriously that it's God. God is going to lead every one of you to do something that is beyond human ability, and therefore it's going to take everything that you have to be able to do it. And if you're a slothful person, if you're a complacent person, if you're a person who's just looking for the easiest way out, then I can guarantee you that's not going to be following God. God is going to lead you to do some difficult things. And so you need to get rid of this mentality of just looking for ease. I tell you, it's going to cost you a lot. And it's going to cost you probably more than most of you are willing to pay, but I'm just here to tell you that the rewards are out of this world. God will bless you supernaturally, but it's going to take some effort on your part. Here's another scripture that goes along with this in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 17, "He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man, and he that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich." This is talking about in the natural realm about prospering, but you know, it's just basically saying that if all you're seeking after is pleasure, then you are not going to reach financial success. It takes work to be able to succeed. And the same thing applies when it comes to taking the limits off of God and following God and seeing God's will come to pass in your life. It's going to take all of the effort that you can give it. And I personally believe that one of the reasons that people limit God is just because they don't want to put the effort into it. They are looking for pleasure. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, the Scripture gives a list of things that will happen in the end time, what our end times will be like. And one of the things listed there, it says, people will love pleasure more than they love God. And you know what? That is descriptive of our world. There are people today that, I mean, they just live for pleasure. I remember one time walking through my office, and it was during lunchtime, and there was a young guy that worked for me. He was also in our Bible college, and he was probably 19 or 20 years old, and he just came into the break room. I was standing there, and he goes, TGIF, and yelled it real loud. And I said, what does that stand for? And he said, thank God it's Friday. And I said, what's so special about Friday? And he said, well, it's the end of the work week. He says, I don't have to work tomorrow. I'm off. I don't have to come to work. And I said, do you not like working here? And all of a sudden, his whole tone changed. And he said, oh, no, I like working here. And I said, you know what? There's a lot of people that would like to be working here. There's a lot of people that would like your job. And he said, oh, I like my job. And I started in on this guy. And I said, I could fix it so that you'll never have to come back to work here if you don't like it. And anyway, he totally changed his tone. And I was just kidding with him. But, you know, really, there's a lot of people that they struggle through work. There's a couple of things. One of them, if you have a job like that, that it's absolute drudgery for you to go to work, then you know what? You aren't doing what God called you to do. I'd say in the vast majority of cases, that would have to be the reason that you dread going to work is because you aren't fulfilling God's call on your life. I think it'd be tragic. You know, I've never had to do this, and so in a sense, I'm just guessing on this, but I've seen other people, and I think it would be absolute tragedy to be doing something because you have to do it, but you hate doing it. It's not where your heart is. I tell you, God didn't make us to live that way. God has a purpose for you. God has a special ability that He's given you, and you need to find out what it is. And when you start following God's leadership, I can guarantee you it's going to be satisfying. It's going to be fulfilling. You'll feel like that you just feel contentment knowing that you're doing exactly what God called you to do. If you are working some dead-end job, let me just encourage you to change that. And I know some of you are afraid, and I'm going to deal with this as we go on through these other things that limit God. Some of you right now are identifying and saying, you know what, that's exactly where I am. I hate this job. I hate what I'm doing. I hate to think that I'm going to be here the rest of my life, but this is where I am. It's how I make my living, and I've got to do it. And right now you feel challenged by what I'm saying, and you're thinking, but if I did that, what would I do for a living? And you have fear about how you'd provide for your family and everything else. I'm telling you that if you would make a break, not because you're lazy and you just don't want to do the work, not because, you know, somebody has asked something of you that has taken a little bit of effort and stuff. I'm saying if you were to make a break from what you're doing because you feel that God has called you to something else, and if that was a firm commitment that you really believed in your heart, and if you did this in obedience to God and stepped out in faith, you would start seeing the supernatural power of God work on your behalf and things would change to your advantage. I'm telling you, you will succeed. But God wants you to get out of that boat like Peter, 14th chapter of Matthew. He wants you to step out of that security that you've got and get out there where you need a miracle. And you know, this example that I just quoted in Matthew 14, it's so descriptive of many people's lives because Peter and these other disciples were in the boat. They were drowning. The wind and the waves was against them. It says that the boat was full of water, and the Lord told Peter to come. I'm sure that people would say, no, you can't leave the security of this boat. But that boat was going down. Everybody in that boat would have drowned if Jesus hadn't have showed up. What was the difference between being in the boat and out of the boat? Amen. The boat was full of water. It was going down. You know, if you look at things really objectively, what have you got to lose? What have you got to lose? This miserable feeling that you have, feeling like you're doing something that you hate? Why is it that we're so afraid to step out of the norm and to do something? You know, Peter got out of that boat and because of that saw this great miracle of walking on the water. And here we are 2,000 years later talking about somebody's faith and what results it produced. There are some of you that are so afraid to make a change because what would people think? There's some of you, what would your relatives think? What would your in-laws think? What would the people at work think? And yet really only one thing matters. And that's what does God think? That ought to be more important to us than any of these other considerations. Well, how am I going to make it? How would I pay for this? You know, maybe some of you need to change your lifestyle. Most people are maxed out and hocked up to their ears in debt. And you know what? You may not be able to sustain that level of debt and stuff doing something that God directs you to do, especially not in the beginning when you get started. It might mean that there is a lifestyle change. But there's some of you that live in million-dollar homes and have all of these cars and all of these things and you aren't happy. I guarantee you, that's not where your happiness lies. You need to do whatever it takes. You need to make whatever adjustments you need to make to find God's will. And all I'm trying to say through today's program is that there is a satisfaction level, a contentment level. Even though it's not a good situation, people just get used to it. They get numb to it. And they're afraid to change. I say this all of the time at my conferences when I'm encouraging people to come to our Bible college. I say, how many of you in here know that there's more? Nearly every hand will go up. How many of you desire to see real change in your life? Nearly every hand will go up. And then I tell them, I said, it's a definition of insanity to do the same thing over and over and expect different results. Nearly every person, I can guarantee you the vast majority of people watching this program right now, you are relating to what I'm saying. You don't have an absolute confidence that you are doing exactly what God called you to do. You're stirred up. You think, could there be more? Am I missing what God's real purpose for my life is? And yet there is this fear of doing something different. You know you can survive where you are. You've been surviving for years or for decades, and you're afraid to take a step. But that's just insane, to want different results, and yet you're afraid to do anything different. If you're going to get different results, you're going to have to do something different. You're going to have to change. You're going to have to take a step. You're going to have to start putting forth the effort. And this is what I'm really trying to get across on today's program, is that, you know, in my own personal life, I had reached a place to where we were successful in the sense that, you know, our needs were met. We weren't under pressure. Things were working. People's lives were being changed. There was good things happening. And you know what? You just could have coasted. Just could have sat there and have been content. And yet, I believe that there needs to be a holy dissatisfaction on the inside of all of us. Now, there's a balance between these two things. There are some people that are so driven to accomplish something that they never enjoy the journey. And their whole life is all about something. They never arrive anyplace. They're just always on the way to something. I'm not saying that. I'm saying we need to learn to be satisfied and content in the Lord. And yet, at the same time, there needs to be a holy dissatisfaction that, God, I don't want to fall short in any area. I don't want to just obtain a portion of what you've called me to do. I want to see your will come to pass in my life. You know, I look at it that God has put gifts on the inside of me, not just for myself, but it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that these gifts are given to profit other people. They are given to be a blessing. God has put things on the inside of me for you, for people to minister to them. And I don't want to come to the end of my life and have anything left. Man, I want to give everything that God's put on the inside of me out. I don't want to have anybody's miracle left on the inside of me. I want to reach that potential. I want to accomplish what God wants me to do. And I believe that God is speaking to people today and trying to draw you to this place. There are some of you that are just complacent. You are satisfied where you are. And I believe God is building a holy dissatisfaction on the inside of you and trying to get you to recognize that there's more. And I believe that that's a good thing. I really do. And you know what? You can get to where being out there on the end of the limb where the fruit is growing is exciting. You can get to where that's an adrenaline rush. I actually have gotten to a place that I enjoy it when the Lord stretches me, and I know that, man, I have to have a miracle for God to make me survive. I've gotten to where I actually enjoy that. You know, I'm a visionary, and that's the way visionaries are. They like to always be out here doing something and seeing something. There's other people that are more accountant types that they just want everything neat and in order, and they don't want anything to rock their boat. You know what? If that's the attitude that you have, you're going to limit God, because serving God is scary to the natural man. Serving God is not going to be easy. It's always going to be going against the flow. It's always going to be asking you to do more than what you in your natural self have the ability to give. I guarantee you, it's going to cause you to be stretched. And so I want to encourage you, the very first thing that we're talking about in this section, we've already talked about that God doesn't just automatically cause things to come to pass. We've talked about that every person has a destiny, and you have to believe that. Where there is no vision, the people perish. If you understand those first two things, then you're going to have to get up off of your duff, and you are going to have to start seeking God and pressing and pursuing the things of God. And it's going to take an energy and an effort on your part that many of you aren't used to giving. You aren't going to be able to just sit there and lay on your couch and watch as the stomach turns and be a couch potato and obtain the goals of God. I guarantee you it takes effort on your part. And so I just want to encourage you with this. Some of you may take this as criticism, but like I said, the Lord spoke these exact things that I've been saying to me. The Lord told me this in 2002, that I'd reached a place of complacency, that I was enjoying the effortlessness of it, and that I honestly was afraid. I didn't want to get back out there where I was putting myself in jeopardy and where there was potential failure. And you know what? That was a hindrance to me. And until I was willing to engage once again and decide that, you know what, regardless whatever it takes, here's what God is leading me to do, and praise God, I'm pressing towards that mark of the high calling in God. Until I re-engaged and got to a place to where I was willing to once again go out there and do that, you know what? It was a hindrance. And I think that the older we get, after you've weathered a few storms in life and you've been through problems, you know what? We get to where we look more and more for those periods of ease where everything is going easy. When you're young, people basically throw caution to the wind and they're looking for a challenge. That's the reason that, as a whole, young people seem to respond a lot more fanatically to God than the older people, is because they like the excitement of it. But as you get older, you've weathered some things and you are looking for that stability and security. You want to build a nest and just stay there. I'm telling you that that attitude limits God. You are going to have to recognize, you're going to have to stretch and get out of your comfort zone, and you're going to have to get up off of your bed and quit being lazy, and you are going to have to get after it and pursue the things of God if you want them to work in your life. Now, I've got a lot more to share on this. Hopefully, it'll be more encouraging and possibly more palatable for you than what I've shared today. But that was something that the Lord spoke to me, and I know that there's people watching this program today that you've just become at ease where you are, and I believe that this is a word from the Lord. So I'm going to continue to share this on our program tomorrow. I would like to encourage you that I've got a brand new tape set out on this entitled Don't Limit God. And this is a brand new teaching from a seminar that I held in January in Phoenix, Arizona. I believe it'll be a blessing to you, so listen as our announcer gives you that information. Call or write today, and then join me again tomorrow for the Gospel Truth.
Andrew's five-part teaching titled, Don't Limit God, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available in either a CD album or a DVD album for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1060C or DVD album T3204D when you contact us. You can also get Andrew's teaching as seen on TV by requesting DVD album T1060D when you send a gift of any amount to this ministry. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We can't overemphasize how grateful we are to you. The third teaching in the audio CD album titled Don't Limit God Part 3 is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to send a gift But if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third teaching free of charge. Request teaching TK149C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Everyone who sends a gift today will receive the bonus Don't Limit God sticker. This reversible static decal will cling to your window or mirror, reminding you not to limit God with small thinking.
I'd like to encourage you to join us on the web. We have a website that I believe is second to none. There's a lot of really good things on there. There's hundreds of my teachings that are there for free downloads. You can get all of our television programs on this topic about Don't Limit God there. We have over 2,000 of my television programs that are there that you can view online. I have 5 or 6,000 of my radio programs. We've got books. We've got a lot of things. It's just a tremendous resource. And I get comments from people constantly that say it's just changing their life just being on the website. So we have that address on the screen. I encourage you to come and check it out today.
Visit our website where you can order ministry materials online at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of resources free for you to download for yourself and to share with others. Or you can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Atlanta, Georgia, March 5th through the 7th. He'll also be in Colorado Springs for the Caris Bible College Weekend, March 12th through the 14th, and in Merritt Island, Florida, April 19th through the 22nd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to invite you to join me on March the 12th through the 14th for our Caris Bible College Weekend. It's going to be right here in Colorado Springs at our Caris Bible College. And I know that there's many of you that just recognize that there's something more. You don't know exactly where to go. And you know what? Bible college would be an awesome first step just to saturate yourself under the Word of God. God speaks to people. People's lives are changed. And so we're going to introduce you to our Bible college. There's actual CBC classes that you'll be sitting in on. You'll have a lunch with the faculty. There's a great time of fellowship. It goes Thursday morning through Saturday noon, March the 12th through the 14th, right here at our facilities in Colorado Springs.
Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
Fear stops the power of God. Fear activates the devil in the same way that faith activates the things that God wants to do in your life. And the antidote for fear is God's kind of love. You just need to trust God. You need to let the love of God come and recognize that if God is leading you to do something, then whatever fear arises from you contemplating what God has told you to do, you just need to turn that over to God, and you need to trust God with it.